Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Creighton, Tennessee on Friday night in Detroit. Nice arena. It's where the Pistons and the Red Wings play right there in downtown.
Yeah. I haven't been down there since the revitalized downtown Detroit.
Detroit's come a ways. And if you're out and about on the streets, if you see this guy, say hello to him. Steve Merfelt, assistant coach from Creighton, joins us now. Hey, I apologize, by the way. It's just kind of a mix-up. I really feel bad that you had to follow Tim Kruger.
I am honored to follow Tim Kruger. My Lord, the bracket buster of all time, the guru, the guy who knows everything and anything about college basketball. What an honor.
Didn't expect that response there. All right. There's no sarcasm whatsoever. Yeah.
How was Saturday?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, morning, Coach.
Good morning, Coach. How was Saturday night for the Ticker? Just to take yourself away from being involved as somebody in the game, but like as a person just watching that game unfold, how did your heart sustain that 50 minutes of basketball?
You know, and it's been not a lot, but I've talked to some really close friends, and they've asked the same question. And I think, to be honest with you, it's harder on fans because as a coach, you're so involved with the adjustments and what can we do and what's going on that you're kind of lost in the moment and not totally engulfed in what is actually going on. So I think when you're coaching it, it's much easier than when you're sitting and having no control over, you know, as a fan. Now I will say this, as I get up early and exercise in the morning, and I hadn't watched the game, the last couple mornings. I watched the first half yesterday. I watched the second half this morning, and my heart beat harder watching it the second time, even knowing that we won, than it did during the actual course of the game. But, you know, as a coach, you're just so engulfed that you're not affected by it like a fan usually is.
Well, Coach, we could see it as an audience in the overtime, especially in the second overtime, that you had a group over there on the Oregon bench that was completely run ragged. Yet you guys come out in that second overtime and look very similar to the way you did in the first 10 minutes of this game. Was that discussed at all as far as where the fatigue level and the things you needed to do to lean a little bit more on Oregon there in that second overtime?
I think that the past experiences, you know, that we've had in some close games, you know, especially maybe the Seton Hall game on the road that goes three overtime, that guys had been in this situation before and understood that whoever, you know, has it left in them, whoever can pull the most out of each other and their teammates are going to be the ones that end up winning. So the past experiences that this group had, and we're a very experienced team too. I mean, we're old in terms of what college basketball is these days. And I think that really factored into it as well. And also I'll give a lot of credit to Jeremy Anderson, our strength coach, who has monitored, you know, one of the things that about Creighton is we have always played our best basketball in late February, March, and into March. And I think Jeremy is certainly a lot responsible for that, along with Ben McNair, obviously keeping our guys healthy. But Jeremy controls how long we practice, what we do, and Mac totally listens to him and has complete trust in him. I think that's a big factor as well.
Hey, so walk us through, and you know, this time of the year, you're not going 2 hours. You're not going 2+ hours. Yesterday was a light workout, get guys back in the gym, but you weren't sprinting up and down the floor. What's a practice like this week when you start to put in the game plan for Tennessee? Like in terms of quick, it's boom, 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 boom in the length of a practice during a week leading up to a game like Friday night.
My guess would be that we will be on the floor for about 60 minutes today. And after stretching, after film review, those sort of things, today, tomorrow, 60 minutes max. And again, it's a very experienced group that has trust in their own preparation in terms of mental, watching video, it's studying their matchups, studying, you know, what the opponents really want to do with their concepts. And that's not something that every team can do, but this team's basketball IQ is very, very high. So physically, yes, we'll have to do some things and, you know, we'll tweak some things and come up with a really, you know, a game plan that we think will be successful. And then also a plan B, you know, that could happen as well. And that's one of the beauties of this team too, is they've been able to flip the switch in the middle of the game and go to plan B or even plan C and carry it out to perfection.
You get a week in preparation for this Tennessee team. Do they, in the initial scout, do they resemble any particular team style-wise? I know Dalton Connect is a special player offensively. What they do defensively, too. Anything look familiar from any opponents that you face, whether in conference play or non-conference?
Well, let's talk about Dalton first. I think if people remember Max Strus, I think he's a poor man's version of Max Strus. You know, that kind of just exploded on the scene and you know, has had a great year and has put himself in lottery contention for an NBA draft. But in terms of style of play, they're very, very physical at the defensive end. Teams like that in the past have given us issues, especially in the NCAA tournament. This team, because of our experience, because of how old we are, it's what they do, and it's why they're a top team in the country. But I also think our guys are much better prepared to handle that physicality and be able to overcome it. Is there one team that we played that you know, is similar to that? I think UConn at times, you know, would turn up the pressure, and especially at their place, probably very, very similar to what we're going to face against Tennessee. But again, I think our guys have experienced everything and anything, and we'll be able to handle it as it's thrown at them.
I think we're going to see a lot of Ziegler-Ashworth on Ziegler. Murph, give me, as we've watched Ashworth go through the adjustment to Creighton and the style and the guys on the floor getting adjusted to him and the way he has grown to, I mean, you pick up the box score, you look at all the minutes that were played, you look at the points total, and you go, boy, Ashworth had 21. Seemed like every shot he took was an important shot. Can you talk about his growth of where you saw where, like, you in practice or in a game, you're like, okay, he's turned the corner. This is exactly who we thought we were getting from Utah State.
Yeah, first of all, and everybody already knows this, he is an everyday guy. That's the definition of a dude that is the exact same every single day. Upbeat, leader, mature, you know, handles the ups and downs better than any player that I've ever been around. And then also, you know, as he's transformed into the Creighton player, the beauty of it is he has really good players around him that, you know, we talk about the Ziegler-Ashworth matchup, and Ziegler is tremendous on the ball. The beauty for Steven is he won't have to face it, you know, for 40 minutes. Trey can bring the ball up the floor. Baylor can bring the ball up the floor. So we can relieve that sort of pressure that way. But Steven has, he just, you know, because he's an everyday guy, he doesn't get up too high or too low. He's just been able to figure it out. And you know, I'm not telling you guys anything or anybody anything. He's just so mature in who he really is.
Managing the minutes, and Gary and I have talked about this in the last week with the media timeouts in the NCAA tournament being a little bit longer for a team that doesn't go maybe beyond two guys off the bench. But knowing how valuable those minutes are, we already know what Farabello has brought, but especially Jason Green in that game against Oregon, what he had, 5 or 6 rebounds in the first half alone. Everybody remembers the, you know, the tip dunk too there in the second half. How important has his development and his a little bit more of a mainstay role with this group been here down the stretch?
Very, very important, and something that I think probably as we have moved forward, opponents have realized, you know, that the impact that he's made, 6 offensive rebounds, he just has a knack for figuring out where the ball is going to go. at the offensive end. He has a very high basketball IQ. He knows his role. He's been able to get guys shots by setting screens, cutting, and then certainly stealing offensive stealing possessions with offensive rebounds. Those things are huge. I mean, we're not a great offensive rebound. We're not even an average offensive rebounding team. But for him to come in and steal us two or three more possessions a game, especially at this time of the year when it comes down to one or two or three possessions, has just been huge for our team.
Steve Merfeld, assistant coach for Creighton, joining us ahead of the Sweet 16 matchup between Creighton and Tennessee late night on Friday in Detroit. Help me with this, Murph, because I think this is one of the most amazing stats in the way that college basketball is played these days, is Creighton allows the fewest free throw attempts in college basketball, and you also foul the fewest. Now, it's not like your professor from Wisconsin lacrosse is working every game, so he's giving you calls. How do you play defense in today's college basketball without racking up fouls? And I think now we're on 53 straight games that a Creighton player is not fouled out of. How does that happen in today's college basketball?
I think it starts with the mentality that Mac has developed in this program over the years. But it also finishes when you have an individual like Ryan Kalkbrenner protecting the rim for you. And, you know, the stuff that he does defensively and never to be in foul trouble is incredible. And it's his intelligence, his ability to totally understand, you know, what's going on around him. And then the other guys just totally depend on him defensively. I mean, we're individually, you know, obviously we're not a great defensive team. We don't have a Khyree Thomas or Tyshawn Alexander that can step up and guard a guy one-on-one, but we funnel everything to Ryan, and because of his intelligence and his ability to really handle the defensive plan game in and game out, allows us to play this way and to stay totally out of foul trouble.
We were discussing this early going of that game against Oregon. I'm curious, as a coaching staff, you guys devised a tremendous game plan, getting back on defense. Getting back out of transition to not allow the matchup zone. But the amount of open looks, to where it almost seemed like we were kind of laughing, it almost seemed to freak out the players a little bit. Were you guys surprised that those looks continued the way that they did in the first half when game planning, thinking that those could be open as much as they were against Oregon, the way that you guys were able to execute that?
Yeah, I think it did surprise us. I mean, we were worried about how we were going to get shots because, you know, Coach Altman's teams have always allowed you to or disrupted your flow and just made you uncomfortable and took you out of your comfort zone. And, you know, for our guys to be able to adjust and put that plan in of cutting and trying to create as much confusion as we could, and as you said, pushing it and trying to get up the floor before that zone could set, was huge in our success. And we talked about it earlier, the conditioning that our guys had, I think, played a part in that as well of you know, getting down the floor before Oregon could get it set and attacking. And that's one of the things that we stress from the minute, you know, we started prepping for Oregon, is we have to be in attack mode. Don't let this matchup zone that they're really, really good at paralyze us. Just attack and play, and if you have an open shot, let it fly. And, you know, we did get Kalkbrenner had a couple offensive rebounds early, and you know, those are the kind of things, again, that allow you to steal possessions.
All right, Mac is a Steelers fan, so you got to go to Pittsburgh. Anybody on the staff a Lions fan?
Wow. DeVries was, so maybe we can go back to when Darren was here.
And his brother played for the Lions,
yeah? So. Pistons, Lions, Red Wings. I'll have to ask, but I don't feel there's a real connection there.
All right, we'll have to find some mojo. Hey, as always, I appreciate it, my friend. Congratulations on the season so far, and enjoy a Friday night. That'll be a great, great basketball game.
Yeah, I was thinking about it this morning. It's always great to be on a call with you guys in late March. That means something good is happening.
That's right.
So hopefully we can carry it over for another week. Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, thanks, Murph. Thanks, Coach. Steve Murfeld, assistant at Creighton, head of Creighton and Tennessee. Good stuff in there. And, you know, Murph, who is big on doing the scouts, a little insight on Creighton and Tennessee, all the matchups that we'll have a couple more days to break down. Big news, really cool news. He has been a guest on the show. I guess it was kind of embargoed. They told us not to say anything till 9, but I think it's out there. Dylan Travis is going to the Olympics. So Dylan, who is well-known in town here, graduate of Omaha Gross. Mm-hmm. He played at Midland. Well, he went to Iowa Central, played at Midland, then went to Florida Southern. He was, until he made this run to get in the Olympics, he was an assistant with Jim Simons over at Omaha Westside. He is going to be representing the United States in the Olympics this summer in Paris in the 3-on-3 basketball. So it'll be Canyon Berry, Rick Berry's son, mm-hmm. Kareem Maddox, and then Jimmer Fredette. And Dylan Travis will be Team USA. So congratulations to Dylan. We'll try and get him on the show.
Yeah.
But he is going to the Olympics. And those people don't call it 3-on-3. We will call it 3-on-3. I think is it 3v3?
3v3, yeah. And then there's the 3-ball tournament. In fact, last time I talked to him was when they had the showcase here in Omaha coming through. Gosh, I want to say that was maybe one of the first events we had downtown after COVID. But yeah, he's been doing it for a really long time, and you mentioned the company that he's in right there too. That just tells you all you need to know. If you don't already know his story, it's impressive, and he's been one of the best in that circuit too. That's awesome.
You know who else has been good, and I think was on one of the qualifying teams was Mitch Hahn.
Mm, yes,
who played at Omaha, played at Fremont.
Yep.
But congratulations to Dylan. That is fantastic because he has devoted like his entire life the last couple of years to making it, and now he will have USA across his chest.
That's cool.
Pretty cool. I don't know enough about Omaha Gross. First Olympian? Can't be. It's a long. I mean, the school's been around for a long time, but possibly.
Yeah, I feel like that's a problem. I don't want to say 100%, but that's a safe assumption. I feel like 90%. Confident that that's the case?
We're going to pay a lot of attention to the Olympic basketball, the USA team, and then, of course, Tomonaga will be playing for Japan, and now we're going to pay attention to the 3-on-3. That's pretty cool. I see a picture here of Dylan in his USA jersey. You can wear number 15. Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember him?
Yeah. Well, I remember Canyon Berry because I think Canyon Berry played at GCU.
Yes. And, gosh, I mean, this time of the year, too. Remember Jimmer Fredette for BYU? That was the guy. I had a friend that wanted to be exactly like Jimmer Fredette when it came to playing pickup ball at the Y in Columbus. He said, I want to be the Columbus Jimmer Fredette. I'm like, oh, okay.
Adam Morrison's very sad right now. All right, Brian Christopherson in the next hour. Today, Nebraska introduces Troy Dannon. And then they remind people that spring football is going on. We'll also get into BC and put a wrap on basketball and also open up the portal. That's yesterday saw Ramel Lloyd leave and Eli Rice go into the portal after showing some flashes over the 17 games that he played this last season. So all that with BC still to come. Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.